Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. With Amanda Vinicky, State House Bureau Chief for Illinois Public Radio. At least she will be in that job for a few more days. Amanda is heard often on St. Louis Public Radio newscasts and has been very helpful to us on this program. She joins us now by phone in what amounts to an exit interview. Hi, Amanda.
Good afternoon there, Don.
Well, how does that sound to you, exit interview?
It sounds, I'm excited for what lies ahead, but of course, sad to be leaving this behind. So I'm not quite sure I'm ready to think of it as a full exit, more of a lingering or a revolving door of some sort, but not in the way that I typically use that word when it comes to legislators becoming lobbyists and such.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, tell folks what you're going to be doing.
I will be moving to Chicago, actually, and continuing to report on Illinois state government and, I guess, whatever else comes my way as a correspondent for WTTW-TV's Chicago Tonight. It's a news magazine program on the Chicago PBS station. So staying in the public media family as well.
Well, how did all of this come about? Was it a bolt out of the blue or something you've been thinking about for a period of time?
I have been describing it very truthfully as one dream job for another. I actually have been working some with the program for the past, I think it's been a couple of years actually, giving updates from the Illinois Capitol on important session activity, and whenever I'm down here and the governor does something big or the General Assembly takes action in Springfield, I've been filing reports for Chicago Tonight, and this is now just going to be doing more of that, so I do expect to be back in Springfield some, but again, based up there on a full-time basis, and not necessarily in any way looking to leave, because I continue very much to believe in both the importance of reporting on what goes on at the state government level and also in public radio and its mission, so hopeful that there can perhaps be some form of, you know, continued collaboration and working together, as there are a diminished set of journalists that will be committed to those beats.
Well, you're going on to a career in television, which obviously is different than radio. Have you had any of that background in your past?
Other than really filing for Chicago Tonight these past couple of years now and again, not so much. A definite challenge will be presented to me right away, and evidently I will be on the air, so viewers will be able to witness that learning curve. But I was a broadcast journalism major as well as political science in college, and so had some training. I will refrain, I suppose, from admitting how long ago that was, especially given all that has changed in the media world, though I suppose at this age we're all adept with going live on Facebook and doing videos and such, so I'll have some of that, and thankfully perks of the job include I help people that will be helping me out with some of what I know to be my deficits, including makeup. Much as I can be a girly girl, that is not my thing, but I get a fancy makeup artist to take care of that, and it is a shop where there will be trained video journalists to do the camera work. Therefore, I don't have to lug one of those around or learn that end of things. So I can really focus on the journalism and hopefully asking some tough questions of our political leaders and then explaining their answers in action or inaction to Chicago Tonight viewers.
Do you think you'll have as much time to do that on television as you have had on radio? That is, radio really is able to give a little more detail, particularly public radio.
It's able to get the detail, and I think I've explained it as almost an opportunity to meditate on a story versus just reading it or watching it. I think public radio, because you, in order to really get the gist of what a story is saying or to get meaning behind a conversation, you have to listen carefully and kind of mull it over. The perk of the job that I'm going to is, of course, it loses some of that, but I think the video it sometimes does allow for a story to be enhanced. Of course, those images and really seeing somebody's face. Sometimes you can hear things in their voice, and that is so special on a radio story. And then other times there is just a story that can be better told when it's accompanied by visuals like that. the program that I'm going to work for is an hour-long nightly news program and really does devote, I think, deserved time and attention to stories. So I would be worried, I think, about that. Not to, who knows where my career will lead, and of course appreciate any time any journalist in any market or medium, again, covers and brings attention to government and policy and political issues. But I think this program in particular is very special because there is a wide opportunity for true discourse and discussions and interviews that don't have to be so very brief.
Of course, regardless of the medium, it all boils down to the ability to tell a story, and that's mm-hmm. the important part of it, isn't it?
You know, to tell a story, and what I think in my job, though I do enjoy now and again a lighthearted feature, and anybody who knows me knows I love just food, meeting people, and am insatiably curious. So any story deserves to be told, but I think that when it comes to covering government and politics and making people realize why it matters and what the heck is going on, or in Illinois, as the case has really been, why on earth so much is not happening, how it can be that a state can go so long without a budget, and what is it about the political leaders that is stopping them from getting along? A lot of it is cutting through, frankly, some BS, and telling a story is almost like being a translator.
When you look back, as I'll bet you've done, as you begin to wind down this particular part of your career, when you look back, what are some of the memories that really pop to mind, some of the outstanding moments you've had or witnessed?
Yeah, I have to admit, I have not been too reflective, in part just because I've been too busy trying to pack and get my act together, and there are still stories that I want to tell and finish up. But there are some wonderful ones. Really, the bulk of my career has been in the Illinois State House and in a job for public radio. And I am so lucky to say that in this time where a lot of reporters don't have that perk, and you see cutbacks recently, you know, at the Associated Press, at the local paper here in Springfield, the State Journal Register has seen a lot of that. So it's been a true honor to have been able to stay in a position for a decade, but I'm looking forward to learning something new and just kind of trying my hat at different things. I would say some of those memories, therefore, go back to when I began as an intern here and just learning the ways of the world. And I've told a funny story now and again about my first real experience getting natural sound, which is one of those things that makes a public radio story magic. There was a fella who evidently was part of some sort of federal program and one of the handful of individuals who was legally, truly, able to use marijuana for medicinal purposes as part of a long-ago federal pilot program. And he came to the Illinois State Capitol to testify on an early incarnation of a medical marijuana legislation that ended up failing in that case. But he brought along his medicine in the form of joints, which he lit up on the Capitol steps. So that was some wonderful net sound. And I remember coming back with it, and my boss is saying, "Wow, you're going to be able to do this thing." I'd say another really good memory that House Speaker Michael Madigan in Illinois had for a while really taken to not speaking with the media. It was before my time, but the rumor has it that it was out of frustration with how journalists handled the campaign of his daughter, who ended up winning and remains Illinois' Attorney General, Lisa Madigan. So didn't really speak with journalists very often. And in an attempt to get him on the record during some of his public spats with former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, chased him down when there was a tornado warning, and all of anybody and everybody in state government, with actually an exception, the governor himself just stayed in his offices up above, where had it actually been a true storm, he could have seen some trouble. Everybody else, however, went down to the basement, and I got that opportunity when the speaker couldn't run from me and got a pretty clutch interview at the time.
Blagojevich probably didn't want to have his hair messed up by the the oncoming wind.
But then again, the windows opened or what have you, the wind, I don't know. He was leaving it to chance, I suppose, and hoping Mother Nature was on his side in the way that the law has turned out not to be. I think really what it was is he didn't want to encounter the speaker or journalists or plenty of the others who he'd been avoiding. Again, that was on his in early part of his downslide.
You know, that had to be a most interesting story to cover. I mean, Illinois is famous, as you well know, for governors winding up on the wrong side of the tracks. But there was such a great deal of incredulity about his whole saga.
Well, and really what to me, it was interesting, of course, as a journalist to cover such a thing, as it was unprecedented in Illinois history, really grabs the nation's attention, the involvement, of course, of selling the seat of who was the president of the United States had once held. It was, of course, fascinating. And just following the governor when he did come to Springfield, when he gave his final speech as the Illinois Senate was just before it took a vote to remove him from office, pleading with them and trying to wait in the hallways to chase him down. All of it was absolutely fascinating. What I think is an important takeaway from that is, of course, again, the unprecedented and then historic story, this just strange a path of a man to go from basically being a nobody in Congress to the governor of a big state, and then his downfall leading to an appearance on Survivor, the Celebrity Apprentice. It was his wife that went on Survivor, so to reality TV, but the consequences that it still has for Illinois and decisions that were made when Blagojevich was at the helm that Illinois, I think a lot of people would say, continue to suffer because of.
What is his status right now? How much time does he have left?
Ooh, when did he go in? He's got a 14-year sentence, and he's not even halfway through. His status, we last read about it, about his prison ban, and I believe there's some rumors that he's hoping that his friend from the Celebrity Apprentice, Trump, may give him some sort of pardon, and that he will be leaving early from the slammer out in Colorado, but that is, of course, pure speculation. And we haven't really been able to see him. It's an interesting tidbit because I did, of course, try to get some pictures of Blagojevich. And under federal law, that is something that you cannot use the Freedom of Information Act to require any sort of those photos. But evidently, he now is gray/silvery white hair.
Yeah, times that'll do that, I suppose.
Spending several years in prison will for sure do that.
In terms of personalities, who stands out, those that you've covered?
Oh, my gosh. The Illinois General Assembly is full of personalities. I will hearken back to there was a Republican who constantly talked, as was his job in the Illinois House. He was basically meant to try and push the Democratic majority, Bill Black of Danville, in a man whose speaking ability is like nothing I've ever seen. And when we've heard stories, for example, just the other week on, I believe, On Point, they were speaking with Bernie Sanders about filibustering. Let me tell you, Representative Bill Black could have done that for days and days and days. There was the incident of now Congressman Mike Bost from down in southern Illinois when he threw up his papers and evoked Moses and said, "Let my people go," when he was speaking with about the rules of Speaker Madigan. And let me just say that I think that tirade was a heartfelt and true one, and maybe something that can give an indication of how things go in the Illinois General Assembly, was that while it got national attention because it seemed so wild and his rage so true and vehement that for all the people around him were just kind of went about their business and barely noticed that anything was awry as these papers went flying, because the frustrations that Republicans have long felt under Democratic rule, at least during my tenure, is pretty same old hat, and nothing has been done about it. So you've got to say, of course, also, I would say Speaker Madigan is a fascinating figure. How can you not think so? He is, for better or for worse, the longest-serving House Speaker in the nation, and his ability to stay on top and to continue to have, even though they've been cut into some now with Governor Bruce Rauner, another fascinating figure there, with all of the money that he's poured into these politics. But yeah, the Speaker is certainly one worthy of study.
You know, our time is winding down, Amanda, but I'm not going to let you go without putting you to work. If you look back over the last year, what stands out? I mean, it's been a fascinating year for Illinois politics.
A fascinating year, a frustrating year, disheartening year. This is not how government is supposed to work. And I am clearly, in the sense, a believer in government. Hence, I have my job. And again, truly think that people need to pay attention to it on all levels, but particularly on the state level. And also, of course, in my job, I am a paid and true skeptic of motives and action and what is behind it. Think that it can be dangerous to think of government as all evil and bad, and yet the leaders of Illinois have done very little, I think, to disabuse the public of that notion. So it has been frustrating, I would say, to cover, because while the political dynamic is fascinating, again, the reasons behind what has brought Illinois to the state of paralysis are varied and worthy of their own coverage, the effect of this impasse is a real one that will, like Blagojevich, have long-term consequences for the state, it seems.
Well, you'll be covering all of that for WTTW. I want to just, before I say goodbye, we have an email here from someone named Pasha, who writes, "I grew up in Springfield, Illinois, and before moving to Metro St. Louis in 2009, I also lived in Chicago and a myriad of other towns, mostly in rural Illinois. It has been comforting to know that as I bounced around various Midwestern cities, I would hear Amanda's reports, and it made me feel a connection to the town in which I was raised, as it has done for my 12-year-old daughter, who was born in the capital city. Thank you for your service, smart and truthful reporting and voice, both literal and metaphorical. It has been a welcome connection to home over these years." That's her tribute to Amanda Vinicky.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so very much. That means a lot, truly.
And we want to thank you, Amanda. Our best wishes for you at WTTW. We're all sure you're going to do a great job there.
Thank you so much, and all the best to all of KWMU staff and listeners. You guys do great, and I look forward to speaking with you, hopefully, in the future in my new capacity. Thanks for all of the attention you give to Illinois politics. I appreciate it.
We will. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.